Investigators, this is a case about a mother of two trying to turn her life around, helping others, and then she's found dead, hanging by her shoelaces, tied to a mailbox. The coroner called it a suicide. The sheriff calls it an open investigation. Her parents say she was murdered.
You know, because I told them Jessica did not commit suicide because Jessica would never do it that way in the first place. I know Jessica, and she would never have done that.
Well, because first off, my daughter was very vain. She was very pretty, and she wouldn't have done it like that. You know, there's just no way.
I recently spoke with Jessica Johnson's parents over the phone for about 2 hours the other day, and after you hear what they have to say and who they think is involved, this story just might haunt you as well.
So you think that there is more than one person that killed your daughter?
Yeah.
Now, before we dive into the case, I want to let you know that the content is for mature audiences, and it still might not be for everyone. And if you're new here, please hit subscribe and think about writing a review on Apple Podcasts. I'll give you a shout out on a future episode, and it really helps independent podcasts like this one get noticed. I'll also post case file photos on my website, truecrimedeadline.com, which when you're there, you can also sign up for an upcoming newsletter. Details are also in my show notes. But first, the mysterious death of Jessica Johnson. Investigators, you're on Deadline.
From the Hollywood Hills to your ear holes, this is True Crime Deadline, a podcast discussing cold cases, murder mysteries, and completely random thoughts. Now, here's your host, a man who stands in front of crime scene tape and talks on the TV box for a living, Mr. Mystery himself, Matt Johnson.
Investigators, thank you for joining me for episode 20, The Mysterious Death of Jessica Johnson, no relation, which takes us to Horn Lake, Mississippi, a small town of about 27,000 people, according to the last census, and it's located in the southern United States. Horn Lake is the DeSoto County seat, about 15 miles from downtown Memphis, Tennessee, which is why Elvis Presley was probably drawn to it. He owned a 154-acre ranch in Horn Lake in the 70s. Nearly four decades later, single mother of two, Jessica Johnson, called Horn Lake home. Her mom, Linda, tells me that she loved helping others, loved her kids, and loved her family.
So tell me about Jessica as a person and, you know, what's the legacy that she leaves behind?
Well, Jessica was a, you know, full of life person. She loved everyone. She was life of the party. Wherever she went, Jessie was always, even as a child, Jessie was just loved by everyone. She was a single mom. She's a mother of two children. Her son is almost 22, and her daughter that lives with me is Eden, and she's 10. She just turned 10 in July.
On June 2nd, 2017, a mailman made a gruesome discovery. Jessica was dead, tied to a mailbox. KMC Action 5 News then reported that the DeSoto County coroner determined her cause of death as asphyxiation due to hanging, and that the premature investigation pointed to suicide. But Jessica's parents say that she was murdered, and even hired their own forensic expert who disagrees with the coroner's findings.
Well, my husband and my grandson, they struggle, you know, a lot because, you know, you had asked me what has been done with the investigation thing. Nothing's been done. That, you know, they wrote her death off as a suicide. I mean, actually, nothing was done from the very beginning. They said it was suicide, and that's the way they left it, and you know, everything has been destroyed. Her clothing, everything that was sent to the crime lab scene has been lost. Her clothing was burned. They stuck it in a biohazard bag. And I know you're probably going to think I'm crazy, but in the very beginning, I believe that the coroner at the time, he's since passed, just had it out for Jessica because, because I told him Jessica did not commit suicide because Jessica would never do it that way in the first place. I know Jessica, and she would never have done that, You know, there's so many things, Matt, that I could tell you, like Channel 5 News, which is a local news team here in our area, was on the scene before the police officers even arrived. Now, that's a strange thing to me, and my husband says, well, don't worry about that, but it's something that stays in my head, Why were they on the scene? Who called them before the police officers were even notified?
Linda and I talk for a few minutes. She's holding back tears and hands the phone to her husband.
Here, man, I'm going to talk to David.
Okay. But here's the bottom line. The police are involved in this. I mean, there's no way that I can prove this now, but there's so much more to this that's not even being reported or addressed.
So walk me through what happened that day that we know, and when you found out that something had happened to your daughter.
Okay, well, I can tell you this. The coroner, when he come up on the scene, he run Channel 5 had got there, and they run Channel 5 off. They told him there was nothing here for him, and so Channel 5 just left. Okay, there was four guys sitting on the front porch of the house while all this stuff was going on. There was a male woman that was the first one there, and she freaked out, and she called one of the other male guys, and he comes over there. And he was he used to be a mortician, and he took pictures. He took pictures of, and he called the police, but he took pictures of her that day. Now, then when Pounders got there, when he was doing his thing, which he's the coroner, right off the bat, he said it was suicide.
What was going on in your daughter's life around that time, and why do you know it in your heart that she wouldn't have committed suicide?
Well, because first off, my daughter was very vain. She was very pretty, and she wouldn't have done it like that. There's just no way. If she would have done it, which she would have taken some kind of pills or something and went out like that. There's no way that she, that would have been a painful way to go, to hang yourself on a mailbox. It's only like less than 42 inches. It's supposed to standard size for mailbox is 42, and this one's less than that.
I mean, I find it really hard to believe that someone could die that way to begin with. I mean, what was the coroner's answer to that, or the sheriff's answer to that?
The commander said, "Don't worry, I don't have the authority to kill you today," which was positive for that day anyway.
In 1993, Chris Moon was captured by the Khmer Rouge while clearing landmines in Cambodia. With survival probability low, Chris was brought in front of the boss.
He was just given a local nickname, Mr. Clever.
Hi, I'm Steve Windus, host of the Batting the Breeze podcast. I'd love you to check out how Chris survived, along with some other great human stories at battingthebreeze.com. Hopefully see you there.
See, my daughter, she got in trouble prior to this a while back, and she got but she ended up, she stayed. They wouldn't let her out of jail, and they wanted her to narc on some people, and she wouldn't do it. She's real headstrong and a loyal person, even though, I didn't agree with the stuff. But anyway, the bottom line was she wouldn't do it. She spent 38 days in jail, and I had to go before the judge, and the only way he would let her out is if I paid for her to go to rehab. And they put a 50, she had, to tell you what she had on her, she had two Adderall pills in her pocket. Yeah, that she didn't even know she had them in her pocket. But anyway, I had to pay all of it up front and get her into a rehab. And well, she went through a rehab. She did really good. She got out. She got a job. She was clean. She was doing all this stuff. And then her boyfriend at that time, who she was trying to, and not Garland, this other one, that she was trying to help and trying to get him, but he was still messing up. And he got, she finally got some money, and she was financed a car, and she was working at West Memphis Steel. She was doing really good, and he got her car seized. And through Homeland Security, while she was at work, and they would not give, we couldn't even get the car back. And so she lost the car. Ultimately, she ended up losing the job, and then she just started going downhill again from there. And then that's when she ended up, because this guy ended up going to jail. And then so she ended up getting with this Garland, and then that's where we ended up where we're at now. A lot to it.
Okay, so let's talk about the house then. Where, paint me a picture of where this house is located and who is the owner at the time or renting it? Who's around?
Well, it's Jesse Isaacs. It's probably sitting on about 3 acres. It's right on the corner, and there's a stop sign right there. It's like kind of, you know, all the housing out there has got like, you know, a couple acres, you know. And the house it's on, it's kind of a small house. And the driveway is on one side, and the mailbox is on the other side where there is no driveway. Where the mailbox is, you have to almost go like through a little wooded area and a grassy grass and all of that kind of stuff away from the house, and there's no lighting, there's no nothing, whereas with the driveway there is somewhat, you know. And so that, you know, it just don't, and her shoes were over on the other side in the driveway, so that meant that she had to walk barefooted through all of that at night without being able to see. And my daughter wouldn't do that.
Yeah. Now, what do you say that, what do you think that that tells you? And what do you think that that should tell investigators? The shoes are located in the driveway. Her body's located, you know, on the other end of the property. What do you think that that points to?
Supposedly she was killed in that house and then took out there. And, but she's got, they had all kinds of little red marks and all kinds of stuff on her things, and they were trying to say that it was insects and it was this and it was that. But when we talked to people, the imprint had to have been done after she was dead, because the blood, because there was no blood flow. You know, because if there was blood flow, you know how it would either bruise or it would come back. But this, you know, her blood wasn't circulating, so it made an indention and it stayed. And the other thing is, when they sent her to the state, has the autopsy thing, and there they got a backlog, but they sent her to an independent to do an autopsy, and they didn't do a full autopsy. They didn't really do anything. And he said, Pounder said, before any toxicology report or anything, he said she had Xanax and all of these things in it, in her, and the Xanax and meth and whatever he said. And they didn't even have an autopsy. None of that. And then he made the death certificate out without having any of that on, you know, on there.
So there was no autopsy and no toxicology report official?
Not that we've gotten, you know, and believe me, we've asked. And
you're telling me also that what is or could be evidence, all of her belongings, they were destroyed. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. The shoestring that, and you have to see it, and how somebody could tie it the way that was tied and the way it was done. And also, if you look at the way that she was done, the shoestring went around her hair, you know. I'm just going to say this: if a woman was going to hang herself like that, she would have took the shoestring and put her hair over the shoestring to get it around her neck. This shoestring went around her hair, and it was going up around through her mouth. Yeah, but you know, it's there's just a lot of stuff that don't make sense. Because one of the guys right now, he's in jail right now. He's down in Hernando, and you know, and the funny thing about it is some of them are talking, you know, and they're saying things, and but it's nothing being done about it.
And without saying names, but so you think that there is more than one person that killed your daughter?
Yeah. Her ex-boyfriend and her other boyfriend. That's who, because they were actually friends. And then they weren't for a long time because of this. And then he was jealous. And then I found out later this the other guy had did some stuff to my daughter. He actually had got her, tricked her, and had her. She didn't know he was going to be there, but he ended up, he raped her and humiliated her at a tattoo shop. And so there's a whole lot of stuff that's come out, but none of these people have been investigated. They've just got away with it all.
I guess that's the whole point in keeping the story out there, is just to not let it go unheard and not let it just keep the story out there.
It's hard. Yeah, I agree. I struggle with this every day. I've got, if I didn't have my granddaughter here, who's 10, and of course I've got my other family too, but if I didn't have that here, I'd probably be in trouble right now, because nothing is being done, and I know there's a lot of people involved, and I know what's pretty much happened, and a lot of other people know what's happened, but nobody's going to do anything about it, because there is no evidence anymore. There's nothing.
What avenues have you reached out to, and what has your family done so far?
You have to remember, this is going on 2.5 years, and you know, and when they've lost all the evidence, and we're just kind of, you know, where can we go with it? You know what I'm saying? I mean, what can we do? Nobody ever, you know, we've had people come and say, you know, they want to investigate and do this, but when they do, they get stopped short when they go to start dealing with the Horn Lake, because they're not entertaining anything. But when they talk to them, if you call up there now and probably talk to them, they'd probably tell you it's an ongoing investigation. But as far as the death certificate, they've signed off on it, and the coroner's already ruled it a suicide. They're not doing anything. There's nothing. You can't get past them.
How do you like to remember your daughter?
Well, she was a daddy's girl. She called me about every good or bad. It didn't matter. Funny. She was a funny person, and I have a sense of humor too. We both do, and that's how we made each other laugh. And she knew that I didn't approve of what's going on, but she was grown, and so it was only so much that I could do on that part of it. But you know, the thing that I remember the most about her is the sense of humor, and you know, and she never walked out of this house without telling me she loved me. To what extent all that was going on, I know she was trying to help these guys, and ultimately it cost her life being around the bad element like that. But me, I'll always remember the laughing and the good times. But I think I remember the end the worst, because I go to sleep. I see it at night when I go to sleep.
Jessica's family runs a Justice for Jessica Facebook page. They're asking anyone who knows anything about the case to come forward and contact the DeSoto County Sheriffs. They're hoping that the pressure will help lead to answers. If you have any information, you're encouraged to call them at 662-469-8500. Again, I'll post pictures of Jessica on my website, truecrimedeadline.com, and on social media accounts under the podcast name. This past summer, Jessica would have celebrated her 40th birthday with her kids and her mom and dad that miss her so much. Investigators, until next time.
Thank you for investigating True Crime Deadline with Matt Johnson. For more information about the podcast, visit truecrimedeadline.com. And remember, all tips regarding a case should go to the police. Until next time.
Mr. Gatsby, want a cookie? Good boy.